Well, take your Bibles and go to Jeremiah chapter number 6 this morning. A familiar passage of scripture there, and I've been at camp all week, so sit up straight, put your hands in your laps, get your Bibles out, amen. Amen. So praise the Lord with Jeremiah chapter 6. You pray for our preacher this week, amen, and he's traveling, and Joanne told me he was going to go out and see a friend today, and it's nothing better. I hope you'll encourage somebody today. I don't know why the Lord has blessed my heart kind of that way. The last couple of times I've been in His Word, I've been excited. You know that if we don't encourage each other, the world's sure not going to encourage us, is it? And when you look at the news today, you're not encouraged. And man, everything that's in the papers and all over the news and TV to this week has been a pack of sodomites all over the place, and trying to have their pride. And we live in a day and age where people believe that we ought not speak out against that. But the title of the message for the room up there is, "What is the old time religion?" Let me tell you what the old time religion isn't. It isn't a pack of sodomites running all over the place, filling up the church and calling themselves Christians. All right, now I see a bunch of frowns. You just better buckle up. Amen. I was trained here. Amen. What did you think you were going to get? Did you think you were going to get somebody that was a little bit less than Pastor Carter? I'm just here to tell you. Amen. He trained me this morning. Amen. He told me exactly, "Hey, Brother Parsons, don't miss a lick." Amen. So we don't want to miss a lick today. There's too many things in the news today. Don't want you to miss it. Listen, now that don't let the video. Now, the video that was there, you know, Brother Richard, all right, I was in the boat doing the work, and you can see where the maintenance guy was on the shore taking video of me doing the work, amen? And he did tell me afterwards, he said, "At least you went down with the ship, brother." Amen. And so praise the Lord. But I had a good time doing it. He did put down the phone, and that's why you had the short video. He did go and pull me out of the water with the boat. So praise the Lord, we did get out of the creek. That was predating camp. We did have a great camp. I thank you for everyone that gave and prayed. As Brother Perkins said before, we had a great camp. We had about 12 young people saved out there that we got record of. And we also had about 15 young people come forward and surrender their life to full-time Christian work, some of them to mission field, some of them to preach, some of them just put on the card they wanted to do whatever God wanted them to do. And so let me tell you, you know, it's a good camp. I've been in a lot of different camps, but the ones that I love the most, there's sometimes you can, at the end of the week, you can say, "This game, this was an epic game." I mean, we had this one game we played. But when your kids come home and when you're in there, and even the counselors are constantly saying, "You should have been there and seen the invitations. The altars were full every time." That's what we're looking for. Now, we can have a great time. We had some good games. We had some good times. We had some good times in the rain. And we had good pool time. But boy, we had some good services. I thank God for him allowing us to have Brother K.W. Walker came down. And that family will be back with us in November. I'm excited about that. But I pray that you'll pray for teen camp. More so, these young people, we've been praying, we've been working towards trying to get them and get them here in their heart, amen, at a young age. But listen, we have a pile of teenagers that helped us at camp, that I love, that I want the Lord to speak to their heart and do a work for them at camp this year. And it's only 3 weeks away, believe it or not. So if they, like he said before, Brother Perkins said, Pastor said it, if there's anything that I know you may have already given, but if there's anything you can give, for whatever reason, I just want to say, on my bus route, I counted about 14 teenagers get off my bus this morning out of the 30 that came in. And I want you to be praying for them. We have an opportunity to minister to young people, the next generation of young people that'll be a part of the church. And we're going to be able to have them for a whole week if we can get them there. Some of them can't come because of finances, and some of them just can't come because, pray for them. You know, that, you know what, I had a little young lady. I know I'm using up some time, but just let me say this. I had a young lady from my bus who earned her week of camp. And this is why we need to pray. She earned her week of camp but wouldn't come because she could not leave her phone at home. And that's a broken hearted. You say, "Well, you know, in my house," that's right. In our house, we'd make them go to camp and keep their phone. But that's not every house. And we need to pray that God would stir in their heart and put a desire there to be where they need to be. And we've encouraged and we've given opportunity, but we just need, now we've got to give it over to the Lord and pray about it. We've got to bathe it in prayer that they'll come and that God will work all things together for His will. And then put in the preacher's heart the words that need to be said. And so this morning, would you bow your head with me and we'll pray before we get into the book this morning. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings, God. I thank you for my pastor. I thank you for what he's done over the years in this place, God. I thank you for him entrusting me to be able to stand in this place and preach for him this morning. I pray, God, that you would just use me as your messenger boy. Just God, fill me up and use me the way you see fit. I pray, dear God, today that if there's one either through the radio, through the internet, or sitting in this building today that does not know Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. I beg you, dear God, that beyond that, maybe the Christian, maybe the old-time way, the old-time gospel way, dear God, maybe there's things that in their life that they're letting slip or slip away. I pray that we would be able to encourage each other from the Word of God today to stick to the book, to stick the old paths. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say this morning before we read our passage in Jeremiah chapter number 6 again, I just want to say this, that we live in a day and age that is constantly trying to get us off the old time way, the old time past. Old time religion, and we are told, even among independent, not just among old path or old time independent Baptists, but we live in a day and age where even independent Baptists are changing. You can find yourself into a church today. You could find yourself in an independent Baptist church that's changed what book they use. You can find your way there. It's a sad day that when you look up what independent Baptist and you got to ask them, what version of the Bible do you use? We it used not to be that way. If you found an independent fundamental Baptist church, they were Bible believing. And you could tell what book they were using. They were using the King James Bible. But we don't live in that day anymore. Sometimes we think about all the things, but you know, we live in a day and age where the old-time, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists, they won't stand up against sodomy anymore. It's where we started off today. It's kind of where we jump in all spot. Listen, if we won't stand up and preach the book. That book right there says that homosexuality, all this transgender, all that business is sin and beyond sin, an abomination before the Lord. We live in a day and age where we'll get soft on sin because we're afraid we're going to offend someone. Do you know what happened in my life? I needed to find out that I was a sinner, that I wasn't good enough to get myself to heaven. I needed somebody to preach in my face and tell me that I was wicked, that I was lost. We live in a day and age where we want to preach to people that all they've got to do is just come to Christ. But the Bible says, that Bible says that Christ has finished the work of salvation, has he not? Amen. That all we need to do is accept him. But you know, the Bible uses a word of repentance. Amen. And that Bible repentance is not a work, salvation. It isn't. I'm just gonna jump in here, and I'm not here to offend anybody, but if you get offended, I am truly sorry. But Bible repentance is turning from anything else that you're trusting in to get you to heaven. Amen. That's Bible repentance. Do you know that we have Americanized the scripture to a place where some people throw out repentance and some people want to make repentance worse, but true repentance, old time, independent, fundamental Baptist believed in repentance, and you had to know for sure that not only you were going to hell, but you deserved it. And then you'd come to Christ. See, we live in a day and age where we just want them to pray. Just pray any prayer. Prayer doesn't get you to heaven. The blood of Jesus gets us to heaven. I prayed a long time before I received Christ. Do you know why? Because I was trusting in work sometimes. I was a kid and I thought, boy, I've been soul winning this week, so I must be pretty good. Amen. I went out knocking doors and I knocked, and I mean back, you know, where I came from, boy, we counted everything. Amen. We counted doors. We'd knock all four doors on a car and count them too. Amen. We'd knock everything that there was to knock. And amen, I think it's good to keep records of things. I think it's good to get excited. I think it's good for us to get so excited that, man, you know, a young person, Do you know what you need? You know, when you're in your home, you know what? I've noticed this, and maybe because I spent a week at camp, this is more. You know that if you tell kids what you really want from them, they'll want that if they want to please you. Do you know at camp it wasn't hard? I mean, you know, I like to drink Dr. Pepper. And kids want to win camp. Do you know how that is? We break them into two teams. And I'm here to tell you, I did not want for anything that I like. I had young people coming up because they wanted to win bad. You know, they wanted to bribe me. They thought they were going to win because they bribed it, you know. And I said, you know, the scripture memorization is what's really going to win this thing. But they said, Brother Parsons, do you like Dr. Pepper? I said, yeah, I like Dr. Pepper. Somebody told me you like Dr. Pepper. Next thing I know, I'd be standing there talking to the preacher, and somebody'd come and put a can of Dr. Pepper in my hand. I said, I appreciate that. What team are you on? And they'd put their wrists up like that. And, you know, I mean, they brought us candy bars. They brought all kinds of stuff. They were being good. Listen, but you know, that's how we ought to be for our preacher. We ought to find out what our preacher likes. It's a good training, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, let me just take a jumping off spot. Old-time Christian, you know, when I grew up, my preacher couldn't leave town without coming back and his door being full of cards and people telling him that they love him and that they missed him while he was gone. I mean, that's old-timey. You know, we've gotten past that. We think that our preacher, listen, I know y'all, I believe, listen, I'm in the best church in America today. I'm just trying to help you. Old time Baptists used to realize just how important and key their preacher was. And he couldn't go by without a Sunday of somebody just sticking something in his hand, maybe a note to thank him, or just somebody to come up and shake his hand and, preacher, I love you. I don't believe that most of us realize, I can say it for me. Can I say it? When I sat in the pew and I didn't work for the church, I didn't realize what the preacher went through every week. I didn't realize how many people called him and blessed him out, how that he had to fight the city half the week, how that he had to, I mean, you know, how he, you know, just like you or I, his car broke down and his air conditioning didn't work and all the things that can go wrong with you happens to him. And then on top of that, he's got your cares and the cares of the church upon himself. And then listen, and boy, I tell you what, you know what they need? Boy, more than anything, well, what do we need? We need to be encouraged during those times. Old time Baptists, man, sometimes we get to the place, we even like the world, we get so self-absorbed, we come here so that we can get encouraged and go back out, and we ought to. That's what your preacher does for you every week. But boy, we ought to be an encouragement to our preacher, shouldn't we? Amen? The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 6, it doesn't use the word old time religion, but it used the words old past here. I want you to read the scripture with me, and we will dive into it, all right? Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Now, I want you to see the end of the verse. A lot of times people will stop there. But they said, we will not walk therein. They said, now this is God's people. God is speaking to his people through his prophet Jeremiah, but I believe that the Old Testament can be applied to the New Testament church, and we can make an application today. Do you know, I believe that we have a lot of people in this age of time that just like the Old Testament, this old group of Israelites, after they heard what God said, you read it with me, thus saith the Lord. So I believe, number one, now this is not the message because I'm just going to, this is an introduction, all right? Number one, it's God's word here. Now we know it's in God's word, but God is speaking through his prophet to that old time group of people. Thus saith the Lord. Then he tells them what to do. But what if God spoke to you today? I mean, he can through his word. He said, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Now, you know, in the New Testament age that you and I live, we're not supposed to walk by sight, but by faith. Do you know the old time saint? God would give them miracles. God would give them signs and wonders. Do you know God, how good he was to that his people, Israel? He said, I want you to stand in the way. And I want you to see who I am. I want you to see how good I am. I want you to see just what I can do. And then I want you to walk the way I tell you to. Look at the verse. He says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. You know, I believe that we live in a day and age Maybe this is born out of some young men that I've been around. I'm not a young man anymore, all right? I'm kind of in the middle. People think I'm old, and some people think I'm young, and some people, not too many people think that I'm young, but some people think that I'm not too old. So, but when I go places, I'm not considered that young preacher anymore, that 25 to that 35-year-old preacher that comes in there, the young guys. Do you know, I found that there's not many of them that are asking for the old paths anymore. Maybe that's where it's born out of, because I believe there's a lot of them. You know, there's questions. Pastor Carter last year at a pastor's fellowship was asked questions. How do you deal with things like what we were talking about earlier? Just this gay pride week and the things that go on, sodomy. How do you deal with that in your church? How do you deal when they come to your church and you're in there? I preach at them just like I preach at anybody else. I preach the same thing, whether they're there or whether they're not there. That's the old time past. That's the old time way. We don't change what we preach for who's coming in and who's going to sit down. If we filled the building full of Catholics, we'd preach the same way we would. If we filled the building, if we could get a whole pack of the gay pride crowd to come in here today, we'd have started off the same way. If we had a pack of politicians or a bunch of ladies in here that believed that abortion was okay, we'd still preach against abortion and we'd tell them that it was wrong and that it was murder. That's the old time way. But we live in a day and age where preachers, even young preachers of independent fundamental Baptist churches, line up and say, well, the old time way isn't working anymore. That's what they say. You say, Brother Parsons, that's not true. Yes, it's true. I've heard them ask me, what do you think we ought to do about this? We're offending people. We're running them off. Well, when did it ever become about numbers and people? Right. When did it ever come? When was success ever a group of people in number? You look down through the ages of time and listen, that when the times that the Baptist church grew was when it was most persecuted by the world. When it still preached the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, even though it cost them something. Can I tell you today, before we dive into truly what is old time religion, I believe that in a short order of time, it's going to be illegal for us to stand up in what I preached this morning. It'll be illegal for me to say that sodomy is sin. It'll be illegal for the preacher. And listen, I'm going to tell you, we got a preacher that ain't going to back down from that. And if they tell him he can't, he'll be like Daniel and he'll go do it anyway. And he'll open the doors towards the east and make sure they can see him do it. You say, Brother Parsons, that's flagrant. That's Bible. We're supposed to, listen, we're not supposed to just do this in secret. We're supposed to do it before men. How is the world ever going to still know where the line is if we don't preach where the line is? How is the world ever going to realize that they're lost and on their way to a devil's hell? This book lines out for us where the old paths truly are. The problem is, I really believe that we live in a day and age where even in a place like this and in this building, when the line is drawn, when we finish this morning and we preach what the old time religion is, people in their heart, not openly, but they'll say, I'm not walking in that. That's not where I want to live. That's not how I'll do it. You want to, listen, can I tell you today before we really get into it? You want to mess your kids up? You want to mess them up bad? Come to a church like this. Keep them in the right place and do something that the church says don't do that. Go out and do the opposite of what the church says. Contradict the book constantly around your children. And when the preacher preaches from the pulpit, tell them, well, I don't really believe that. I know he preached that from the Bible, but I think this. When did you become the authority? I thought we were all under the authority of God. Amen. I thought, again, you say, well, Brother Parsons, this, I believe if you train them up in the way that they ought to go, that they'll come back, even if they run off along the way. But I'm here to tell you this morning that we serve a God in heaven that ordained a man to preach his book, not his opinion. And you put yourself under a man because you believe that that man is your man of God that God sent for you. And you ought to get behind him and push with everything you got. You ought to get in and just follow with everything you got. What'll hurt you along the way is when you start choosing when you're going to push and when you ain't. What'll hurt you is when you decide where the jumping off point is and what's real and what ain't real for you. This business, listen, I can even see the sneers from the crowd today among good, godly people when you preach against something that is wicked as sodomy and how people tighten up and worry what's going to happen if I stand with him. Listen, I can go out here to the supermarket and I've got people that are not even saved that'll openly say, that's sickening to me. A group of people that would pervert themselves to a place where they would take something. You do realize that the rainbow is something that God keeps around his throne. And God chose that to mark a sign between him and man. And you can't tell me that there's a more wicked, perverted group of people on planet Earth that would take something as sacred as what God keeps around himself and would make it their symbol against God. I'm here to tell you, they may think that they're on cloud nine today. They may be out in the sun today, but there's coming a day of judgment. Amen. And you say, Brother Parsons, you're just preaching hate speech. You know what I would love to see? Them realize that they're in their sin and that there is a God in heaven. And that God, even though he knew he was going to, he knew that there were people on this planet that would take something like the rainbow that he kept for himself and gave us a sign that God in heaven would send his only son to die on Calvary for them and for me. For those that abort their babies. He died for, I mean, as wicked a sin as you can find out in your mind, that Jesus Christ came and filled full the law, came and died on Calvary and paid for their sin debt and rose again. And he sits in heaven waiting for them to call upon him if they'll repent and turn to Christ. Do you know that's the gospel? That's the old time way. Look at the scripture with me today. He says this, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Listen, the whole deal of the old time way is for us to have rest in our souls. We're not supposed to have rest in this life the way we would think of rest, the way we think, boy, I'm looking for rest, I'm looking for retirement, I'm looking for this, I'm looking for that. God died on Calvary, not for you to sit back on your laurels and have rest on this side of heaven, but for you to have rest in your soul, that I might have peace. I have heard my preacher preach about it over and over again, how he worried about where he would end up. I could tell you my story again, how as a 15-year-old boy, I had a stirring in my soul. I had dreams of a fiery place called hell. I knew I was going to bust that place wide open, but then I finally surrendered. I finally turned to Jesus Christ in my sin, and he saved me out of my sin and gave me rest in my soul. From that day till this, there's been no stirring in my soul and worrying about where I would spend eternity, because Jesus paid it all. Rest for your soul is old-time religion. He says, listen, I want you to say, number one, if you're going to take points, turn with me, if you would, to Psalms number 14. Psalms 14, just real quick, if you have your Bibles, Psalms 14 and verse number 1. If you're going to head there, you can, but I want you to get there as fast as you can, because I am running out of time. He says in Psalms 14, verse number 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Can I tell you, number one, the old-time religion. What is the old-time religion? Number one, that there's a God in heaven. And that God does not just exist as what other people would say, but he is the creator God. He's a God in three persons. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who sent, listen, can I tell you that it took all three parts of the Godhead to save us this morning. God chose us before the foundation of the world, sent his Son to die for us, and the Holy Spirit of God waits for you to to call upon the Son of God so that he can seal you until the day of redemption. That same God in heaven who has done all the work of salvation. Listen, it is the old time religion. We have all kinds of people wanting to say, I need to pray to this and pray to that. Listen, it is God in heaven that we need to be praying to. Not Allah, not somebody else. It is that we can look up in the heavens. I was at camp and I was looking up on one starry night. Most of it was cloudy. We got a bunch of rain this time. But can I tell you today, I looked up and I saw and I said, how in the world could anybody look at everything that's here and look up at a starry night and see the organized stars and everything in their place, not things crashing together and falling down on the earth? How could a man look up to the stars and wonder, is there a God? We have people that foolishly say there is no God today. Do you know that that's building, by the way, friend? Because we as Christians don't stand up and speak up. When the old, the old science guy gets up and wants to tell you that all scientifically how things happen, you can't map out the sky and tell me scientifically how that happened. You know what they do? They punt on it. Oh, man, they'll tell you all kinds of big words, but then when you get to that, how did that happen? Well, there was a big bang and it all just happened. There was a ball of gas. I can see where it came from, as usually when I look at them and talk about it. Can I tell you today, the old-time religion is knowing that there's a God, that he is real. There's an old story. There was an atheist, someone who didn't believe in God, and an Arabian crossing the desert. And late in the evening, looking up at the stars, the Arabian fell down to his knees. And he said to him, he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying to God for the faithful journey that brought us through this day. And he said, how can you believe that there's a God? And he just started to rant and rave and, like atheists do, tried to put out all his you know, suspicions of what God. Have you ever seen him? No, I've never seen him, the Arabian said. He said, well, see, there's no God. He said, now listen, what do you see right there in the sand? He said, well, they're camel tracks. He said, did you see that camel come this way? No, I didn't see the camel come this way. Then how did you know what it was? Well, those are camel's tracks. He said, well, look up here. And he pointed out the stars. He said, that's the tracks of the Almighty. I can tell you that he's been here. I didn't get to see him. I wasn't here when he put it all in place. But that's evidence that he's been here and that he set it all in order. Can I tell you today that we live in a day and age where it's not as hard as you think to just study the Word of God a little bit and to throw a nugget every once in a while. What atheist needs is for Bible believers to know their Bible. And when they throw out and spew out their garbage, we need to be able to put out Bible. You know, not in an argumentative way, but to prove out the Scripture before them. The old time way is more than just knowing that God is real, but it's a belief in the Word of God. You say, Brother Parsons, you're going to spend a lot of time here. Can I just say, listen, this book right here is precious to me. This is the book, the same King James Bible, not the one I'm holding in my hand, but the same perfect book, the King James Bible. When I got saved, I walked an aisle and I came down front and I was raised in a church and I was raised in a good church and I knew what it was. I had told other people how that they could be saved, but I had never received Christ for myself. And this book was special to me because the words of this book, I didn't know Jesus except for the tracks that he left in this book for me. And I walked an aisle and fell on my face. And I began to beg God to save me. And I thought to myself, I don't ever want to be here again. I want to leave here with a I know so salvation. I want to know that I know that I know that I'm saved when I leave this place today. And I got up from that place and I went back and I found a man that I respected that was in the church. And I tapped him. He had his head down. He was praying. The preacher was still talking. And I said, hey, I need you. He said, what's the matter? I said, I need you to take the Bible and show me how to be saved. Can I tell you today, listen, I didn't need anybody to go with me. But I wanted someone to be witness of what was going to happen in my life. I took the Bible and laid it in front of the two of us and I turned the Scripture. Because I knew where it was all found. I said, will you read this verse to me? Will you read this aloud to me? You say, Brother Parsons, you didn't have to do that. I know I didn't have to do that. But this book, this is inspired. this is alive. This is the Word of God. This is what told me. Do you know I don't know anything about Jesus outside of this book right here? I don't know anything about anything that God has done in this world outside of this book. Do you know that there are people that call themselves fundamental, and fundamental means that you have a foundation in this word, and they don't believe the book is perfect? That's crazy. Old time religion is not just built on the premise that there's a God, but that God left us a book that told us everything that we need to know on planet Earth, and that it's inspired, that it's preserved, that it's perfect for man today in the King James Bible. That is old time religion. You find yourself in a place that calls it old timey. Just because you got rocking chairs don't make you old timey. Amen. I, as a teenager, have enjoyed a rocking chair, amen, but that didn't make it old timey. Can I just tell you, that book is old time religion because it's perfect, because it's preserved, because it's forever settled in heaven. As old as God is, this book is. As forever settled as God is, this book is just that settled. You say, Brother Parsons, you really believe that? Boy, I believe that. Old time religion is being born again. Do you know we don't use that term as much as we used to? You know what? It really explains what salvation is, what takes place. You know, Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and we would go there if we had time, but when he spoke to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. You realize that explains exactly what happens at salvation, is that the old man that's dead in his trespasses and sin is born again spiritually. A man can't go to heaven, the Lord Jesus said, unless he has been born of water and of the Spirit. Scripturally, old time, independent, fundamental Baptists believe that when somebody gets born again, that they take on a brand new life. That book says that it is represented by their fruit. You know, when you get born again, what happens? There's new life. It's brand new. You say, Brother Parsons, do you really believe that? Man, I believe that. I believe that. Oh, Brother Parsons, brand new life? Oh, yeah, brand new life. Being born again by trusting in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that I'm in a church that believes that, but you know, I found there are people that have heard the gospel their whole lives, and when you ask them what the gospel is, they say it's a good news. You know, as a child, I was taught that gospel, the definition of the gospel, is the good news. But you know, there's no good news to hear if the gospel doesn't mean that the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Boy, if we just left him with the burial and the death, there'd be no life. But after 3 days, something was different about Jesus. He wasn't just a man, he was the God-man. And on day three, he came out of the grave. The reason that I can put my trust and faith in him today is not because he's just a good man, but because he's God. Because he came out of the grave, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, as John 14 says. Can I say this to you today? The old time religion isn't outdated. Do you know it's just as true today as it's ever been? I know we talked about the book and the book being so old, but listen, can I tell you that the story Pastor's been talking about, he's been taking that book around and trying to prove with some earthly history the Lord Jesus, his story. Can I tell you today, old time religion is only outdated because we don't talk about it like it's recent. Do you know old time religion is only getting outdated because people are dropping it by the wayside? Do you know that if people back in the, when I was a boy, I was born in the 70s, and I don't remember all the heyday of everything, but as a little boy, I remember that my dad was excited to go to an old-time, independent, fundamental Baptist church. That the thing that was happening, the reason that I'm in church today is because my uncle got saved, walked an aisle in a Baptist church, and my grandparents, who were Methodist, saw something alive in that Baptist church that they had to go see. They had to go see what was going on there because the old time religion was alive and well. Listen, I beg you today, if you are in this place and you don't know Christ as Savior, make today the day of salvation. But what I wanted to preach today and beg, because I knew a lot of us are going to be home folks right here. A lot of us are old time, independent, fundamental Baptists. Can I beg you to do this for me? When you're out and about, when you're anywhere you go, don't let the old time religion be old to you. Act like it's just as vibrant as the day you got saved. Talk about it just like you used to when you were young and you remember the day that, man, something happened and the preacher prayed or there was a miracle. Boy, it wasn't too long ago. I remember we talked about some things that we prayed for people. And people, I mean, that looked like they were going to be goners, that they were going to pass away, that God did something in the church. That old-time religion that people used to talk about, listen, it's only getting outdated because we don't practice it like we used to. I look at that bus board back there. Do you know that there ain't a whole lot of churches still running buses today? There ain't a lot of churches because, you know, that out of all the offering plates that could be passed among this place, there wasn't a whole lot that came in from those that rode the buses today. But is that why we run the buses? No. Is that why we keep up the buses? No. The reason we run the buses, you know, at camp this week, 12 young people walked down and got saved. Probably half of them came off our buses. Can I tell you that some of those that came down the aisle and said, I'll be a missionary. I'll preach. I'll go wherever you want me to go. They came in on those buses. Friend, you'd be in a hard fought battle today to go in Haines City and find another old time religion Baptist church in this town today. We need to be the light that we've always been. That only happens if every individual person in the building is still as old timey. Old timey in the way we treat our pastor. Old timey in the way we witness. Old timey in the way we believe in God. Old timey in the way we believe in the book. Old timey in the way that we preach the book unashamedly. If you're here today and you're not saved, well, you're in an old-fashioned Baptist church. We can show you how to be saved. And you can accept Christ and come to Him. If you're here today and you've never been baptized, well, you're in the right place. You're in an old-time, independent, fundamental Baptist church that still believes in the book and the blood and the blessed hope. And still got the water hot for you today. Well, you say, Brother Parsons, I've been here a long time, but I've not joined up. Maybe you ought to join an old-time, independent, fundamental Baptist church today. God's spoken to your heart. I know He has. Whatever He's asked you to do, I want you to do it today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? The pianists are going to come. Would you stand to your feet? Let me ask you this today. If today you went home, left this place, you passed away, where would you spend eternity? If your answer is, I don't know, you ought to come down and get it straight today. If you say, Brother Parsons, I know that I wouldn't go to heaven. I know because of my sin, I'd go to hell. Well, today, in an old time fundamental Baptist church, why would you leave this place without receiving Christ? I'm going to pray and then we'll sing. Dear Jesus, I thank you for what you've done this morning, dear God. I pray that the message is old time as it can be, dear God, but I believe that we have some in this place, dear God, that need to do business with you. I pray you'd help them do whatever it is. If there's one that's lost without Christ, I pray they'd walk the aisle and be saved today. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come as we sing? Just time.